This is our first installment of Ask the AD. Kurt Apsey, Boise State's athletic director, now 4 months on the job, joining us here at the West Side Drive-In, because it's down the street from his offices there at Boise State, where he takes a quick break, then goes back for the women's basketball game, which you can hear on 1350 a.m. But Kurt, welcome aboard. It's good to have you. And thanks for doing this for us every Thursday at 5. This will be a good time.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to it.
So opportunity for you to ask Kurt a question. You can hashtag Ask the AD on the KTIK Twitter feed. You can also get us off a text at 424-9300. We've certainly got some questions as well. And, I mean, if you had $100 for every time somebody asked you about where you're going for the bowl game, you'd have a lot of money by now. But yeah. Our debate is really centered on how much input do you have? How much input do you have?
It's a mixture. It's the athletic directors, the conference, the bowl directors themselves, and then ESPN obviously plays a huge role in it. And we've been in conversations with those groups all week long. We're really not going to know for sure until probably Sunday at some point. I think the options are pretty apparent out there what they're going to be. I think you had the poinsettia guy was on here earlier in the week, and they've expressed a lot of interest in Boise State, and so we'll see how it goes. But we're giving all the information out to our fans tomorrow just to make sure they know how to go get tickets regardless of what game we're in. And then on Sunday when we find out, whatever time that may be, then we'll push send and get people excited about where we're going, and hopefully we can sell some tickets.
Do you work directly with the conference, and then they work directly with ESPN, or do you go up higher the chain, or who do you talk to?
Usually the conference. A lot of the bowl directors, over the course of the season, you guys probably know this, you've seen them walking around the stick, or we've had, all kinds of bowl representatives there just, creating and generating and cultivating the relationships and making sure we know who they are, and they've all been great. It's funny, in the beginning of the year, you might get the big bowl games, and then depending how your year goes, sure. you'll get, Kevin McDonald's been up there a lot, and the guys from San Diego, New Mexico's been there, and so it's been good to just see those guys again. And, regardless, I'm just excited for our team to get a chance to play in, I think it's the 14th straight bowl game, and, that's pretty extraordinary. So we're, regardless of where we go, we'll be ready to go and excited. So.
Ask the AD, Kurt Apsey, Boise State's athletic director, joining us here on Sports Radio The Ticket with Kays and Prater. Well, Kurt, there's years where you want the best possible opponent. Maybe there's years where you want a home game. Maybe there's years where you want an opponent that you match up well with. Let's face it, would it make sense to schedule an 8-win Georgia Tech with a triple option attack this year? I mean,
no.
Don't those kind of considerations come in with the team that you're dealing with, the year you're dealing in coordination with Arson?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that goes into it. First and foremost, what, at least from Coach Harson's perspective and mine as well, is we want to make sure we get an opportunity that's really good for our players who have a great experience going to a bowl game. And there's other things that play into that, who we play. A lot of times I think our guys really like to play a bowl game earlier, unless it's maybe a bigger bowl in early January or late December, because we don't have to send them home. They can get through finals, start to practice, get ready for the bowl game, play the bowl game, and then go home for 2 or 3 weeks for Christmas vacation and come back. ESPN's involved in most of the games we're in, so that's kind of given where, wherever we go. I think the only exception is this new bowl in Arizona where it's the Insider or the Insider.com or whatever it's called. So it's all those factors. Quality of opponent certainly plays a big role in that. I mean, we want to play the best team because this is also a momentum builder going into next year. As you guys know, that's critical in the recruiting process, which they follow up with, 6 to 8 weeks. Once we're done, those coaches are on the road getting ready for signing day. So all those factors, Jeff, and I think that we pay close attention to all those, but probably the two most important ones are the experience for our guys and who we play. So
it sounds like it makes a lot of sense, but there's also some rumblings that, quote-unquote, the Mountain West gave away Vegas and gave away Hawaii in 2019. Or a combination of those 2 years.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? Do you like that trade-off? Is that good for the conference, and is it good for Boise State?
I think there's a number of reasons that the conference did that. What they basically did was they signed an agreement that said that BYU could replace a Mountain West team in either Vegas or Hawaii in 15 and 19. It allows us to get that spot in the Armed Forces, which is usually a Big Ten opponent, and the payout's bigger. So,
right.
In this year, obviously, Air Force very successful. I'm assuming they'll probably end up there. And what that does also is it gets away the possibility of maybe a Mountain West team playing in the same bowl game. If you guys remember 4, 5, 6 years ago, gosh, we were in the Vegas Bowl 3 out of 4 years. And to me, although Vegas does an unbelievable job with the players and the coaches and our fans and all that, it's a great experience. When you got guys that have been there for 4 years and they've gone to the same bowl game for 3 years, you know, that gets a little old. So it maybe gives you some more options.
Right.
I think sometimes you can look at it and go, well, gosh, you know, you have your champion in either San Diego State or Air Force, and they don't get to go to the Las Vegas Bowl. But I'm not sure it's a good idea or a bad idea. I was a little surprised when I came back just because I didn't really know all the reasons behind it. But when they started explaining kind of why they did it, it makes some sense.
Kurt, what about the idea of staying in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
When does it make sense to do that? How strongly can you tell us you or Coach Harsin do or don't feel about that?
You know, first of all, I think that bowl does a great job, and it's so unique. I mean, when do you go to a bowl game and get a parka and a beanie and a pair of goggles and hand warmers and, you know, all this great winter gear? So it's just a totally different experience. The thing for us is we play here 6 times a year, and not that that's not a good experience for our guys, especially since we haven't been in it for so long, but when you play here 6 times and then all of a sudden you're in the postseason and you're playing in the same place again, you know, sometimes our players and our coaches can go, you know, we want a different experience. Not that it's a bad one here, but I don't know when it's a good time. You know, maybe we'll be here next year or the following year. I think it just kind of depends on how we do, but well, again, I go back to that experience for our players, and we love playing in front of our crowd in Boise, but in terms of the experience for the players and being able to go through something different, that's important to us.
Kurt Apsey's our guest. This is Ask the AD, heard Thursdays at 5 o'clock here on Sports Radio The Ticket. Kays and Prater right now with a famous 93-cent broadcast. Good for another 45 minutes or so at the West Side Drive-In on Park Center Boulevard. Kurt, one of our Twitters or tweets came from Pete Erlandson, who wanted to talk about raising money and how we raise money to close the gap or keep up with Power 5 schools. And I'll start with that, and he has a follow-up. But you put your head to this all the time.
Yeah.
What are the potentials, or what are the new revenue stream concepts to keep up?
Well, there's no magic wand. There's no perfect science to this thing. You know, I think one of the things that we got to do at Boise State is make sure that we're using our current budget wisely. And I know that that doesn't sound like a fundraising way of doing it, but in a sense it is. We take what we have, we make sure we prioritize what we need, and that we're spending the money that we currently have in the best way. And I think we do a good job of that. I think we've done a good job with upgrading our future home schedule. I think that's a way to do it. The other thing that I think people take for granted is we spend a lot of time every day making sure that we're giving our coaches what they need in order for us just to put a product out on the field or on the court that people want to support. You know, and what I mean by that is you can have the video boards and the indoor facilities and the hot chocolate at halftime and, you know, cheap ticket prices and all these things that you try to do to get fans into your stadium, but if you don't have a product that people are excited about or that's being successful on the field, they're not coming anyways. And so I try to just do what we can and control what we can control. And I think that we've been able to, and at least in our football program, to make sure that we've got a product out there that people are excited about and that they're willing to come watch. And, you know, and I think we have a great opportunity in basketball. Our attendance and our season tickets are as high as they've ever been over the course of the last 20 years. I think there's tremendous room for growth there. I think Leon and his staff are doing a great job. I think I see a lot of upside in being able to sell tickets. Our greatest source of revenue is memberships from the BAA and selling tickets. You know, BSP and Learfield and those guys do a great job selling sponsorship. They continue to raise that bar. They're doing a tremendous job there. I think the other thing that we're trying to do is kind of revamp what we do in the BAA. Dusty Clements is running that for us now, has done a really good job, I think, in kind of overhauling the way that we handle our customer service, treating our donors the right way, making sure that we're listening to their needs. And, you know, sometimes people think it's really hard to get the new money, but for me, it's really important that we take care of the people that are already giving us money. And so is that a new way of raising money? Not really, but in a sense, if you focus on those things, I think you continue to keep the people that have always supported you. And if you can do that, you can continue to build, you know, on an annual basis. The other thing I think we're doing a great job of is our coaches are starting to put together enhancement funds for their sport where they're going out and really talking to people that have a passion for their sport. So they're putting together, you know, our football coaches club, the hardwood club for basketball,
Patton,
the fast grade
tennis,
club, you know,
tennis
that program that they have going right now. I mean, those guys have raised, you know, almost $250,000 that goes to help tennis. So we're doing all those things. You know, you could put together special events or races or walk for women's sports. I mean, there's 100 different ways to get special events involved and all that. But as you know, that is very, very labor intensive. So I try to focus more on let's do what we do great. And I think if we continue to do that, then our fundraising will continue to rise, which it has over the last 10 years.
One follow-up from Pete, and I think this was on our mind. We've talked a lot about this. The decreased football attendance this year, if there was one, I don't know what the paid number is. I know what we see. What impact that had or didn't have on the budget and the effect of those 8:30 kickoffs, 8:15 kickoffs, and if there's ever an end to them.
Well, we planned for it. You know, it's no secret. I mean, Boise State's not the only one in the country struggling with attendance when you're playing games at 8:15 and trying to bring little Johnny and Susie down to the game and you're getting them home at 12:30 at night. And that's tough. I mean, believe me, if we had any say in it, we'd be playing our games earlier. It's better for our players, our coaches, our staff, the fans. So it's not something that, you know, I think sometimes everyone thinks that the AD is the guy who decides what time we're going to play. Well, if I had any say in it, you know, we wouldn't play the games at 8:15. I think there's 100 ADs across the country to tell you the same thing. But the conference has a contract with our television affiliate through 2019. They determine what day we play and what time we play.
Sure.
We are in constant communication, every AD in our conference, with our conference and with our television partner to address our concerns. We'll start to talk to them about maybe some things that we might be able to do differently going forward. But for now, you know, college football, that's the way it's set up. And unfortunately, it's not great for our fans. And, you know, I can only apologize for that. There's nothing I can really do about it. But at the same time, again, let's put that product on the field that people are proud of. And they need to know that when they come to a game and buy a ticket, that's what makes that product on the field so special. And they've done such an unbelievable job here in Boise. It's one of the reasons I came back here. This fan base is as loyal as any, and the people that I work with on campus, all the alums, all the guys that used to play here. Jeff, you come to our spring fling when we
right.
got all the guys coming back. Our fans get that, and hey, if you can't come at 8:15 because it's not good for your family, I mean, I get that, but at the same time, I think people just need to realize that we just don't have a lot of control over that.
You don't have a lot of control. I think we've all kind of learned that system.
Yeah.
But is it possible to pick one game? Or you said you're in contact with the conference and you give them your desires and your wishes. And can you take an Idaho State and not be on a Friday night at 8:30 and put that on a Saturday at 1? Mm-hmm. Are they willing to negotiate at all, or is this pretty cut and dried?
You know, I think it depends on their TV schedule. I think it depends on what time of year it is. What time was that game? Was that at 7 or something like that?
7:30, I thought,
can't
wasn't
remember
it?
What time that game
yeah.
was.
But, it was a little earlier.
You know, in September, sometimes the late games are okay because the weather's nice and all that. But once you get into November, man, that's a tough deal when you're coming out there and it's, you know, 25 degrees at 11 o'clock at night. And that makes it difficult. You know, Mike, to answer your question, if we're ever on ESPN3, which is the, you know, when you're on the internet, then the school controls the game time. And we just unfortunately haven't had a chance to have something like that. So
nor do you want to be on ESPN3.
Well, and we don't. You know, I don't think anyone's going to argue what ESPN has done for Boise State over the last 10 years. And that exposure is just something you can't buy. And it's not just for our football program. It's for our university. And in fact, Tech, I think it's been great for our community, the state of Idaho, to be honest with you. And I wouldn't trade that. I do hope that there's some middle ground. I mean, you know, even the 7:30 game a couple weeks ago was better than
right.
kicking at 8:25. So even if it's something like that, I think where it comes down to, though, is a school willing to kick at 1 o'clock and not be on TV?
Yeah.
And
no.
I'm just not a fan of that. I want to make sure we have that exposure for 100 different reasons. You know, number one, I want the world to continue to see our brand out there as much as possible, and I think it's terrific for recruiting.
Just quickly, the impact, though, this year of attendance, what was the – do we know the final number?
You know, I don't think it was much different than last year, though. I think it's pretty close. We were probably hovering maybe 32, 33 a game or something like that.
Because it was budgeted. I remember the budget going, okay, they are budgeting to have either a little bit down or neutral.
We did a great job in selling tickets. We did take the individual, you know, game budget down a little bit so that we could end at a number that our budget was comfortable with. So from a financial standpoint, we might not have made as much money as we wanted to, but we certainly covered what we budgeted.
Was the Black Friday special successful? Was the Veterans Day sale? Did those discounts produce the net result that you were looking for?
Absolutely. You know, got more people in the stands, that's for sure. But I think, you know, when it comes to discounting tickets like that, I try to be very careful with that because I don't think you want to devalue someone buying a season ticket. You know, and if you continue to do that, or if you're doing that on an every game basis or something like that, you know, sooner or later someone's going to go, well, wait a minute. Why would I go buy a season ticket when I can buy a, you know, an individual game ticket for, you know, $26.50 for six times a game? And so I think you have to have a really, really good balance there. And we try to be careful with that to protect the value of the season ticket holder.
All right, we're going to get to Coach Harsin's contract. We have more Ask the AD questions coming from our 424-9300 text line, or you can hashtag Ask the AD.